We're holding on mem test. We're holding on mem test on with Aleph, the 12th line. Line begins Itzava. We had a bunch of questions from Rav Papa about various aspects of the Chafina, where the Torah tells us that the Kohen Gadol has to take a double handful of Keturas to bring into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Rav Papa had a number of questions about the details of that. Some of his questions were also about the Kmitza of the Mincha, which is a similar kind of thing in that they are also, you have to take a handful of the Mincha to offer on the Mizbeach. Of course, there's a difference because the Kmitza is done with one hand and the Chafina is done with two hands, and the Kmitza is you fold over your fingers over the palm of your hand, Kmitza you don't, but I mean, and Chafina you don't, but there is a certain similarity between them, and therefore the Gemara was talking about them a little bit interchangeably. So we had a bunch of questions from Rav Papa. Then we digressed to a question of Rav Sheshes about, they had asked him whether you can take blood to the Mizbeach in the left hand, and Rav Sheshes attempted to prove from our Mishnah the same way as you can carry Keturas in your left hand, because we said that's what the Kohen Gadol does. His right hand has the pan of coals, and the left hand has the Keturas. Then the same thing should be true as far as the blood, but we slugged that up and showed that it's not so. So now comes another of Rav Papa's questions. Tosfos Yeshanim wonders why we didn't put it together with the other questions. So one thing that the Meremei Sadeh, the Netziv, has an explanation that since the previous question of Rav Papa had been about machshava, about a thought of pigle while he's scooping up the coals. So then, whether that's effective or not. So then, the Gemara wanted to mention in that connection that it depends whether it. One way we can look at it is whether we say that you have to carry the coals in your right hand, or whether they could have, or the coals and the keturas in your right hand, or whether they could be carried in the left hand. And so the Gemara was trying to make a certain equation between those two things. Okay, so now back to the Papa. Boy, the Papa. Chofan chaveiro v'nosam asay chofna of mavi. What would happen if one Kohen scooped up the Keturas, which is two hands, and then gave it to, and then put it into the Kohen Gadol's hands? So like this, usually the Kohen Gadol goes and scoops it up himself with his hands out of the container that they brought him. So now, what if somebody else did that and put it into his hands? So the question is, do we require just that there should be his double handful? Well, then you have that. He has a double handful. He just didn't take it directly. A jum of a lokach, the hevi ba'inan, or maybe what we require is that the lokach, now the pasuk says the word velokach, but in context, the pasuk is, so the pasuk goes like this, velokach malaya machta gachle ish, you should take a pan full of coals, full of, a pan full of fiery coals, me alam is beach me lifne Hashem, from onam is beach before Hashem, umaloy chof nev toda samim daka, and a double handful of fine keturas salmon. So the question is, Rashi says, does the velokach refer to the keturas as well, or only to the coals? So odum of a lokach vehevi ba'inan, maybe we require that the velokach also refers to the vehevi, the keturas, in other words, that he personally has to take the keturas out of the container rather than having somebody else put it into his hands. Yeah, so that's the question, that whether the velokach refers to the whole lekka, and in this case, you don't have that. So again, the answer is teku. We don't have a proof one way or the other. Now, Tosfos says, among the earlier questions of Rav Papa, we had the series of questions of Rav Papa that started back on Mem Zayin Amud Beis, and one of his previous questions was, when the Kohen Gadol scoops up the keturas, we said sometimes there can be a bit of keturas stuck between his fingers. Is that included in velokach or not? So already we had the question of whether velokach refers to the keturas or not. So Tosfos explains, though, that actually, so in that case, the question is, why is Rav Papa asking the same question again? And Tosfos says, because the question over here depends on one possibility with that one. There you could argue that what's between his fingers can't be called velokach because he didn't intend to pick it up. But here, somebody intended to pick it up. It wasn't him. So therefore, maybe that would be still called velokach. But on the other hand, maybe velokach means that he himself has to pick it up and take it. And so anyway, the answer is tekel. We don't know whether that would be kosher. Again, this is one of those cases where the Rambam says you shouldn't do it b'chatchila, but b'dieved if you did it, then it's kosher. Okay, another one. Boy Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, chof anumnes mahushi konis acha b'chvinase. Suppose that the Kohen Gadol did the chafina. He did. He took the double handful of Torahs, and then before he was able to bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he died. So now, can the next Kohen Gadol, who replaces him, can he take that same Chafina of Torahs into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or does he need to do Chafina again? And on the side over here, it brings that brings a gusa that some kisveyad have. That again, the question is, you have to have maloy chofnov, and you have maloy chofnov because the first Kohen Gadol took the double handful, or do you specifically need his own maloy chofnov, and here you don't have it because it wasn't his own; somebody else did it. Tosfos Yeshanim points out that the question may be only if the Kohen Gadol died. If the Kohen Gadol is possible for some other reason, let's say he became Tomei, first Tosfos Yeshanim says maybe the question could have been on that also, but then they say not necessarily. If the Kohen Gadol is still alive, he's just not able to do the Avodah right now because he's Tomei, fine, but at least in general he's Roi LaAvodah, so therefore you can say there was a Kohen Gadol did Chafina, and that Kohen Gadol is still alive. He's just not available to serve as Kohen Gadol right now. So the question would only be if he died, where there you don't have that. So that's Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's question. So before we get to the answer, we're going to have a little bit of a digression. Amar Rav Chanina, boy re'ei shelas harishonim. Rav Chanina was very impressed. He said, come look at the question of the earlier generations. In other words, you have sometimes people use the phrase baruch shekivanti, like they come up with a chiddush, or they come up with a question, and it turns out that some great Talmud Chacham of a previous generation came up with the same thing. So Rav Chanina is saying, look at this. I had the same question, and now we see that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who's from an earlier generation, had the very same question. So the question is, Lememra, did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi koshish? You're telling me that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is older than Rav Chanina, so that Rav Chanina would be saying that like this Baruch Shekivanti, that I, look at this, I managed to come up with the same question as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who's from a previous generation. Can't be the other way around. Rabbi Shurban Levi, Li Hitir Rav Chanina, Lishtas Shachalayim B'Shabbos. Rabbi Shurban Levi says that Rav Chanina gave me a heter to drink Shachalayim on Shabbos. Shachalayim is, it's a plant, in English it's called cress, so they would grind it up and they would make a drink out of it, a medicinal drink. And Rabbi Shurban Levi is saying that Rav Chanina gave me a heter to drink it on Shabbos. So we're going to discuss that a little bit, but the point is, in other words, either the fact that he's calling him, so Rashi says the fact that he's calling him Reb Chanina, if Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is in fact older, he wouldn't have called him Rabbi Chanina. He would have just called him Chanina. So the fact that he called him Rabbi Chanina shows that Reb Chanina is older than him. The other possibility that Ritva says is the very fact that he has to say Li Hitu, that he gave me a heter. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss now what the basis of the heter is, but still, the fact that he said, that he uses an expression like that, he gave me a heter, implies that Rav Chanina is older than him. We have to keep in mind, of course, you know, not always, I mean, of course, you can have a Rebbe is younger than his Talmud, but, you know, that's when you have, for example, you have somebody like Rabbi Akiva or Rish Lakish, who started learning Torah, who got back into learning Torah later in life. But we never find that with either Rabbi Chanina or Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Pashtos, they went through the whole system in the normal way. So therefore, so you would expect, therefore, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is going to be if he's asking a Shaila by Rabbi Chanina, it must imply that Rabbi Chanina is older. Maybe the Gemara is going to say soon that it wasn't necessarily a Shaila in Halacha, it was a practical question, but still, he wouldn't be calling him Rabbi Chanina. So the Gemara, anyway, so we're going to digress a little bit to talk about this heter that Rabbi Chanina gave Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And then we'll get, once we go through all of that, then we'll get back to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's question and try to answer it. So the Gemara says, Lishtos, what do you mean the question was whether he's allowed to drink this quest juice on Shabbos? Pshita, of course you could drink it. The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Shabbos. Now there is a Gzeira Dirabanan not to take medicine on Shabbos, unless, of course, Sakonas Nefashos is nothing to talk about, but also, for example, unless a person's whole body is feeling weak from the sickness and like they can't get out of bed. Otherwise, the Chachamim are concerned if you take medicines for minor ailments on Shabbos, you may come to grind up spices, which, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, is in fact part of the process of making the shachlayim involved grinding. But when it comes to the actual drinking of it, it's not. We learn in a Mishnah and Shabbos, kol ochlin ochel adam l'refuah, a person is allowed to eat any kind of normal foods, even if he's eating them for healing purposes, v'chol ha-mashkin shoseh, and he's allowed to drink any kind of drinks, even if they have therapeutic purposes. In other words, the issur is, the gzeira d'rabbanan, is to eat and drink things that you would not normally eat or drink. In modern terms, that would be various kinds of pills or liquid medicines or whatnot. In terms of those days, it would be various kinds of herbs that are not actually food, and you wouldn't normally eat them as food. You're eating them only for medicinal purposes. Shachalayim is not in that category. People eat and drink. People eat shachalayim or drink the juice of it when they're healthy as well. So what's the problem? Ela lishchik v'lishtes shachalayim v'shabbos. You're right. What Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is saying that he had asked Rabbi Chanina about grinding them up and drinking them on Shabbos. Well, then the question is, grinding we know is a malacha, a hechi dummy. So what's the scenario? Id ikka sakanda, if there's a sakonis nefoshes, mishra shori, then of course it's mutter. As we're going to learn extensively at the end of our Masechta, we're going to have a whole sugya on the matter of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos and Yom Kippur and whatever. And obviously, we're doicha everything of Shabbos for pikuach nefesh. So nothing to talk about. The e deleka sakanta, and if we're not talking about a person's life is in danger, meser also, then of course it's also because grinding is one of the 39 of his malachas. So what is Rabbi Shur ben Levi having to ask Rabbi Chanina? Rabbi Shur ben Levi knows these basic halachas that everybody knows. So what's he asking? The answer is la'olam de'ika sakanta. In fact, we are talking about that there was danger to life, but the hachi kami boile. Rabbi Shur ben Levi's question is not whether you're allowed to. Whether you're allowed to be mechallel Shabbos for sakonas nefashos, of course he knows. The question is a practical one. Mi masya, does this cress juice actually, is it something that'll heal? In that case, the nechol alayo shabza, then of course we would be mechallel Shabbos for it. If it's effective, then that's something you're mechallel Shabbos for. Oy loy masya, or maybe it doesn't heal anyway, it doesn't really do any good. And therefore you shouldn't be mechal Shabbos for it, because to be mechal Shabbos is only going to be for treatment which is effective. In fact, we're going to have a machlokas about that, about a similar point in the last perek of our Masechta. We're going to have a mishnah over there about a person who was bitten by a rabid dog, a certain kind of cure which they used to use in those times, but the question is whether it's really effective or not. Actually, the question isn't so much on Shabbos. The question is the treatment over there involved giving him something treif, giving him a piece of the diaphragm or the liver or whatever of the dog, of that same dog itself. And the question is it effective or not? And the Chachamim say no, and Rav Masi ben Chodesh says yes. So we know in order to be mechallel Shabbos, or in order to be mechallel any other mitzvahs for the sake of treatment, it has to be an effective treatment. So that was the question over here. Is this cress juice an effective treatment or not? So then the question is, Mishner Rav Chanina, okay, why is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in that case, why is he asking Rav Chanina specifically? He should go ask a doctor. So now, by the way, you're now of course we're saying what he's asking Rabbi Chanina is not a matter of halacha. He's asking him a medicinal matter. So he used the expression li hiter, meaning, in other words, Rabbi Chanina informed me, yes, it is effective. Therefore, it's something to be mechal Shabbos for. But fundamentally, it's not a question in halacha, which is what we said. Rashi said before what proved, according to Rashi, that Rabbi Shur ben Levi is younger than Rabbi Chanina is not so much the fact that he asked him the question, because fine, if Rabbi Chanina has the expertise, you ask him whatever his age is. The thing is, why is he calling him Reb Chanina if he's in fact older? Okay, so the question is, why is he asking Reb Chanina? The reason is Mishum Debaki Berufusu, because Reb Chanina was expert on medicine. And we know that, the Omer Reb Chanina, we know that because there's a different Gemara in Chulin where Reb Chanina says, May Olam Loisha Oloni Odom Amakas Pirudalabana Vachoya. Nobody ever asked me about what to do about the bite of a white mule and survived it. So in other words, Rav Chanina was known to be, besides that he was a great Talmid Chacham, he was also an expert on medicine. And therefore, if a person was bitten by a white mule, which is particularly dangerous, then people would come to him with a question whether what can we do to heal it? And he would, and the answer is there isn't anything you can do to heal it. The question is, what do you mean? We do see that people are bitten by such animals and they do survive. The answer is, correct what Rav Chanina is saying. He's not saying, he didn't mean to say that the person would survive it. He means to say in feminine, meaning the word maka, the word maka, which means a wound, is also in feminine form. So that means, in other words, that he's saying, nobody ever asked me about a treatment for this kind of thing, for the bite of this kind of mule, that would actually be effective and heal the wound. So we see, in other words, people would come to him with such questions. So we see that he knew his way around medicine. So the question is, we do see that people are bitten by such animals and they get cured of it. And they get cured of it. The answer is, besumken inhu v'chivran resh karayu kaminim. The kind of animals that we're talking about, where the bite of them will never heal, is where the mule itself, where the mule on the whole is red, but the ends of their legs are white. So that particular breed of mules have a very dangerous bite, and that's what Rav Chanina is saying, that when people were bitten by that, he was never able to find any kind of cure that would allow the bite to heal. But regular white mules, it's fine. Those you can give a treatment, and those will heal. The bottom line is we see that Rav Chanina was an expert in medicine, which is why Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi went to him to ask about this cress juice, whether it's going to be effective for somebody for chola sheyesh be'sakana on Shabbos. Okay, so now that we went through that detour, so now mekol makom shmaminu Rav Chanina koshish. The bottom line is we see that Rav Chanina is older than Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Again, either as Rashi says, the fact that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi called him Rabbi Chanina, or as the Ritva says, the fact that he uses the expression li hitir, implying that he came to him for a question in halacha, and Rabbi Chanina gave him a heter. So then the question is, so when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asked the question, now going back to the original topic, when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asked if the first Kohen Gadol did chafina, and then he died, whether the second one can now take that same Torah and go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with it. And Rav Chanina was very impressed and said, "Boy, Re'eh, Shelas HaRishonim, come look at the question that the previous generation had, which we have the same question in our time." So what do you mean? Now we see Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the next generation. Rav Chanina is the previous generation. So the answer is, you're right. Ela hachi kama she'elosin kish'ela sharishonim. You're right. What Rav Chanina means is their question now in the next generation is the same question as the earlier generations. So in other words, he's telling his Talmidim, look at this. I'm from the Rishonim. I'm the earlier generation. I have the same question. And we see that the next generation, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, is also coming up with the same very good question. So the question now is, Umi Omar Rav Chanina Hochi, did Rav Chanina really say that he has this question b'chlal? V'ha'amar Rav Chanina, didn't Rav Chanina say, now we're going to discuss this point soon in the Gemara, beginning on Amud Beis, b'par v'loy b'damar shalpar, v'loy b'damar shalpar, the Pasuk says like this, the Pasuk says, v'zois yovei Aaron el ha-kodesh, with this, Aaron should come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, v'far ben brokah l'chaftas v'ayel l'oila, with a par and with a chaftas. Now, what does that mean? Obviously, as the Gemara is going to explain later, it doesn't mean he's bringing the actual par and ayil in. It means that he's bringing in the blood of them. But the question is, or not that he's not bringing in the blood of the ayil, fine, he's bringing in the blood of the par. But the point is, do we say that it means that the Kohen Gadol has to have been the one to shech the par, and later on he's bringing in its blood? Or can it be, let's say, for example, again, the Kohen Gadol died partway through the Avodah, can somebody else take over the power, and the power already having been shechted, can he take over from that point and take the blood into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and sprinkle it? So the basic question is, when the Pasuk says that he has to come in, b'far ben bakar l'chatas, then does that mean that he has to have that the power belonged to him from beginning to end, from before it was shechted? Or is it good enough that he's just coming in with the blood of the power, even though the power was shechted by a previous Kohen Gadol?
So Rav Chanina says, "Befar v'loy b'damish apar." Rav Chanina is one of the ones who says, as we're going to learn on Amud Beis, that no, the word befar means not with the blood of the par. It means, in other words, that for the Kohen Gadol to be going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there has to have been a par at some point while he was Kohen Gadol, meaning it's not good enough that the par was already shechted and then he takes over as Kohen Gadol and brings in the blood. He has to now shecht a new par. And V'omer Rav Chanina, and we find that Rav Chanina himself also says, later on Daf Samach, we're going to have a sugya on the issue of what happens if the Kohen Gadol did some of the avodas of Yom Kippur out of order. In general, we're going to say over there that everything that's done on Yom Kippur, or almost everything that's done on Yom Kippur, has to be with a certain sequence. And if he does things out of sequence, then it's going to be possible, and many times things are going to have to be redone. And Rav Chanina says, in that connection, part of the sequence is, now we know, we've said in the Mishnayos over here, in the previous perek we had that the Kohen Gadol shechted his par, and then he gave the blood to somebody to stir, because otherwise it's going to congeal while he's doing the next things. Then he went and got the coals. Then he does the chafina of Ketores, the taking the double handful of Ketores. Then he's taking the coals and going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and offering the Ketores there. And only after that did he take the blood of the par and bring it into the Heichel. So we see that the order is shechting the par, chafina, And Rav Chanina says, Ketores shechofna kodem shechites par, that if he does chafina of the Ketores before he shecht the par, loy also v'loy klum, then what he did doesn't count, and he's going to have to do another chafina of teres after the par is shechted. The first chafina that he does is no good. Now, so it comes out like this. So what would happen, according to Rav Chanina, if the Kohen Gadol died after chafina, which was the original question of Rabbi Shimon Levi? Well, that's at that point, it has to be after the par was shechted. And according to Rabbi Chanina, the Kohen Gadol himself, who's going to be going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, has to be the very same one who shechted the par. Therefore, according to him, there's no room for the question in the first place. Because if the Kohen Gadol shechted the par, and then if the Kohen Gadol rather did chafina and then died, and now the question is whether somebody else is going to take over the chafina, that new Kohen Gadol did not shecht the par. According to Rav Chanina, he's going to have to shecht another par, and once he does that, automatically he's going to have to do chafina again anyhow. So there's no room for Rabbi Shimon Levi's question. So what are we saying over here? Rav Chanina is saying, look at this. We had the same question in my generation, and now Rabbi Shimon Levi has that question in his generation. We see that according to Rav Chanina, there's no room for the question in the first place. The answer is Hachi Karma. What Rav Chanina is saying, what impresses him so much about Rabbi Shimon Levi's question is like this. Given that Rabbi Shimon Levi has this question about whether the second Kohen Gadol can use the chafina of the first one, that means, since he has this question, obviously, therefore, Rabbi Shimon Levi disagrees with what I, Rabbi Chanina, am saying. He holds, and we're going to have various opinions like this on Amud Beis, that the word befar does mean that it's fine if he brings in just the blood of the par. In other words, he doesn't have to have been the one to shecht the par. It's fine if a previous Kohen Gadol shechted the par and he's just taking over when it comes to bringing the blood into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So once we know that Rabbi Shimon Levi asked, once we know that Rabbi Shimon Levi knows that holds that way, Olamai de Svirale, then according to that Svara of his, then it's a very good question. Because Sheilosik is Sheilos Rishonim, his question then is the same as the question of the Rishonim, the other Chachamim who disagreed with me, Rabbi Chanina. I personally hold that there's no room for the question because chafina can only be done after shechitas hapar, and according to me, shechitas hapar has to be done by the same Kohen Gadol who goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But the other chachamim disagreed with me, as we're going to see on Amud Beis, and they hold it's fine even if the Kohen Gadol takes over when it comes to the blood of the par. So now there's room for the question. So you should know those same chachamim who disagreed with me had this question, whether one Kohen can use the chafina of the previous one. Now I'm very impressed that Rabbi Shimon Levi came up with that question on his own. Okay. My havi Allah, so what's the bottom line with Rabbi Shimon Levi's question? Does it work or not? And by the way, it's interesting, the fact that the Gemara is even asking my havi Allah implies that the halacha must be like Rabbi Shimon Levi. because otherwise there's no reason. Otherwise, there's no reason to ask. And in fact, I mean, we're going to continue discussing points about it. We're going to continue discussing points about it further in the Gemara. The Rambam again paskins that this is one of those cases which is a suffix, better not to do it. But for Diyevit, if they did it, then the Chafina is kosher. Anyway, so what's the bottom line? What do we say about it? Is it good or not? Amar Papa. So the Papa says we have to consider it like this. The next thing we're going to discuss in the Gemara is, what's the sequence of things that the Kohen Gadol, let's say the Kohen Gadol didn't die, it's the same Kohen Gadol throughout. What's the order of things that he does with the Keteris? So we said like this. He starts by scooping up a double handful of Keteris out of the container that they brought him. Then he puts that into the spoon, where the spoon, we said, is sized to fit the amount of Keteris that would go in his hands. Plus, as Tosfos has said, maybe it's a little bit larger in order that no Keteris spills out. Then he carries the spoon into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then, as we're going to say on Amud Beis, he has to get the Ketores back in from the spoon into his cupped hands. And then he sprinkles that on the coals and it starts burning. All that is one way of understanding what he does. That's called Choyfen B'Choyze V'Choyfen. That he does, he takes the double handful twice, once before he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and once he gets it from the spoon back into his hands in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's one way. The other way of understanding it is that maybe he only needs to do chafina once. Maybe he only needs to do chafina the one time, and then he brings it in the spoon. And maybe then he doesn't have to get it back into his hands. He just goes and sprinkles it from the spoon directly onto the coals. So now, Rav Papa said, depending on what we conclude, what he has to do as far as that, that's going to affect this question of whether the second Kohen Gadol can use the first one's chafina. If we say that he's doing the chafina twice, once outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and once in it, then chaveira nichnas b'chafinasoi. Then yes, the second kohen could go in with the chafina, with the keteres that the first one took. Drama kaima chafina, because at least chafina has been accomplished. Because at least he is going to be accomplishing chafina. He's going to be doing it again in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Torah wants him to take it with his hands. Good, that's being accomplished because he himself is taking it with his hands inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But if you say that he doesn't, that once he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Keteres stays in the spoon, and from there it goes on to the coals. So now, Tiboyeloch, now, Rav Papa says, would be the question, because now the question would be, can the Chafina was not accomplished by this particular, by this new Kohen Gadol, therefore is it good or not? Now, Tosfos learns over here that Midah Raisa, you could do chafina as many times as you want, Tosfos says. You don't really have a specific thing that you have to do it twice. Therefore, all the Torah cares about, says Tosfos, is that you should make sure you don't miss any of the Torah. So you don't drop any of it on the floor or whatever. You want to make sure that you have an exact double handful and that when you pour it on the coals, it's still going to be an exact double handful. So therefore, Tosfos says, it's a takana of the chachamim that you should do a second chafina in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the purpose of it being in case some of the Torah spilled on the way. So therefore, when he puts it back into his hands, then he'll realize it, because then he'll realize that his hands aren't full. So now the Gemara is saying, therefore, what happens if he did chafina, put it into the spoon, then he died before he even got into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then we're saying that the next Kohen Gadol does he have to do chafina again and put it into the spoon? That way it'll be because that way you still have, it's fine. You're only going in once with Maloy Chafnav. If we say ein choifin v'choiz v'choifin, if we say that maloy chafnav means davka, you have to do it only one time, you're not to do chafina two times. So now the question is, according to the Papa, then the problem is that now this Kohen Gadol didn't do chafina at all. That's how Tosfos learns. On the other hand, Tosfos Arosh learns almost the other way around. He says that if the chafina in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the one that's required d'oraisa, because he says like this. We learned previously that we talked about how does the Kohen Gadol actually get the coals and the Keteres into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We ended up saying that one possibility we thought is maybe he should take them in his cupped hands into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and then take the machta and put it on top of his hands. And the problem was, we said that then when he gets into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's not going to have any way of getting the machta off his hands onto the floor. Or he would, he could take it down, he could take it off with his teeth, but it would be very disrespectful to do that in front of Hashem. So that's why he uses a spoon in the first place. Therefore, Tosfos HaRosh says, we want, the Torah wants at least, given that, fine, practically speaking, he's not able to bring the Torah in his hands, so the Torah wants, the Eibishter wants, that at least at some point, before he, at least before he puts the Torah on the coals, he should have it in his hands. That way, at least, we'll be mekayim the mitzvah of Maloi Chafnav in the Kodesh HaKadoshim to the extent possible. It may not be he's bringing it in with Maloi Chafnav, but at least he's pouring it on the coals from Maloi Chafnav. So according to Tosfos HaRosh, it's the first kafina that maybe is not necessary on a Daraisa level, but the second one in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is. Okay, so anyway, so the Papa is saying that this is the question. And if we say that both kafinas are Daraisa, then okay, at least he's accomplishing. If we say that choifin v'choiz v'choifin, that the Torah requires you to do chafina in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in order to at least be mekayim in some way maloi chafna v'tora samim daka v'hevi, then fine, the second Kohen Gadol is accomplishing that. He's doing chafina, therefore we're good. But if we say that both of them are daraisa, If we say, this is how the Rosh would learn, if we say that the second one inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim is not Daraisa, well then he's not being, so then the Chafina on the outside is the one that's essential, and that one was done by the previous Kohen Gadol. However, Amalei Rav Huna B'Reide Rav Yeshua L'Rav Papa, so now going back to the Gemara, Rav Huna B'Reide Rav Yeshua says to Rav Papa, no, what you're saying, the logic is actually backwards. Adrabba, I Choyfen V'Choyze V'Choyfen, or you're the other way around. If you have to do chafina twice, once outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and once inside it, lo yikonas acha b'chafinasa, then the din should be that the second Kohen Gadol cannot take the chafina of the first one. He would have to do a new chafina of his own. Because after all, inevitably, the second Kohen Gadol's hands are not going to be exactly the same size as the first ones. Therefore, it's going to be slightly more or slightly less. So therefore, that should not be allowed. And the question rather would be the other way around. If you say that he doesn't need to do the second chafina in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that he can just pour it from the spoon onto the coals, that would be where you have the question, because there you don't have. Fine, the spoon is sized to the Maloi Chafnav of the original Kohen Gadol. The Ketores is still in the spoon. It's going to go from the spoon onto the coals. At no point inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim does it have to be inside the Kohen Gadol's hands. So therefore, so fine. So in that case, Rabbi Huna B'Reide Rav Yeshua says that would be the question then, whether the second Kohen Gadol can do that or whether he has to take a new Chafina of his own. Now, in fact, the Yeshivalite had a question. What's the din? Does he have to do chafina twice, once outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then he pours it from his hands into the spoon, and then again in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where he's going to be getting it from the spoon back into his hands, and then put that on the coals? Or does he not have to, once he brings it in the spoon, then he can continue, then he can just bring it, then he can just pour it on the coals from the spoon? And then again, according to, of course, so the answer to that question is going to affect the question of whether a second Kohen Gadol can use the chafina of the first one, according to the Papa and Rav Huna B'Reide Rav Yeshua, except that according to each of them, the answer is going to be different depending on what our answer is going to be to this. So Toshma, again, let's try to prove from our Mishnah. We said, Kach hoisa midasa. We said that he takes the double handful of tortoise and puts it into the spoon. We said, depending on the size of the Kohen Gadol's hands, is going to be the size of the spoon. And that was the measurement of it. So my love, doesn't that mean, on the face of it, doesn't that mean the same amount that there has to be outside has to be inside? And therefore, that would be, meaning, in other words, that the same way as he measures it from his hands into the spoon outside before he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the same way it would mean the same way it would mean that he has to take that he has to pour it back into his hands and have the same amount over there. So that would show that yes, he has to pour it back into his hands. The answer is like, not necessarily. On the contrary, maybe it means that he could make a spoon the size of his hands and pour it from the spoon. Or maybe the mission just wants to tell us that you have to make sure you have the same amount of tortoise that none of it spilled on the way. So as we said in the Gemara on Daf Mem Zayin, the Mishnah itself, the words in the Mishnah are not so clear, so we can't learn one way or the other. We can't demonstrate from the Mishnah that we also can't demonstrate from the Mishnah the contrary, that he could, if he wants, just make a spoon the size of the chafina and use that. In other words, measure sometime before Yom Kippur how much his hands hold and just not use his hands at all. Use a spoon the whole time. We can't demonstrate one way or the other from the words of the Mishnah what the din is going to be as far as that. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. A Braisa says, Ketzeru Oisa, what does he do in order to get what does he do inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Now again, the premise of the Braisa is that he has to get the Ketoros from the spoon back into his hands, which is therefore going to answer our question that yes, he does have to do it from his hands. That's choyzev a choyfen. He is going to have to take the chafina again in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So now how does he accomplish it? The first time it's easy because he has other kohenim there to assist him. So he can be holding out his hands cupped and they pour the spoonful of tortoise into his hands, and that's that. But they don't need to pour the spoon. Rather, he cups his hands and takes a double handful of tortoise. Then he puts it into the spoon. Fine, somebody else can be holding the spoon while he gets the tortoise, while he opens up his hands and gets the tortoise into the spoon. But now he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's all by himself. How is he supposed to get, both of his hands are needed for the double handful. So how is he using his hands to get the tortoise from the spoon back into his hands? So Oichas is a bozach b'roshe etzbozov. So he starts by holding, the end of the spoon with his fingertips, meaning Rashi describes the machta is already out of his hand. He put the machta down on the ground. Now he puts he holds the spoon with the bowl of it facing away from him, and he holds it with the bowl of the spoon facing away from him. Then he has the handle of the spoon. He has the handle of he has the bowl of the spoon facing towards him and the handle facing away from him. Then he starts doing with his fingertips. He starts pulling with his fingers to start positioning it onto his hands exactly where it should be. The yesh omen b'shinav. Some say instead he would use his teeth for that purpose. So he said to put down the machta with his teeth would be disrespectful. But here, Tosfos said over there, basically the machta is on his hands. He's just using his teeth to help position it. That's not so disrespectful. Umala b'gudloy. Then he starts raising it with. With his thumbs. Until the handle of it reaches between his elbows. So in other words, he's using his fingertips to start turning it over, and then he's using his thumbs to actually finish turning it over. He uses his thumbs to pull it closer and closer to his body until the handle is right between his elbows, and he keeps his elbows close together. And that way, he turns it over on its side, and the tortoise spills into his hands. The Rambam has a bit of a different understanding of it. The Rambam's understanding essentially is that he has a slightly different gusa in the Gemara over here. He takes the end of it with his fingertips or with his teeth, and he just uses his thumbs to pour it into his hands. In other words, the Rambam doesn't have the part about having to position the handle between his elbows. He just learns that he uses his thumbs to flip it over and pour it into his hands. The Yerushalmi brings another interesting possibility. The Yerushalmi says maybe what he does is he throws the spoon of tortoise up into the air in such a way that it'll flip over in midair and the tortoise will spill out into his hands. Whatever the case, the Braisa continues, with Sovra, Then once he has the tortoise in his hand, how, in what way does he put it on the coals? He piles it heavily on the coals. This way it'll take a while for the smoke to start coming, because since there's such a thick amount, it's going to take time for the coals to be able to burn through it and start producing smoke. One idea of it is, the reason why you'd want to do that, you don't want the Kohen Gadol to suffocate with the smoke. So therefore, you want to give him time for the smoke to start rising before, and this way he has time to get out of there. The Yesh Omer Mefazra, some say the other way around that he spreads out the tortoise thinly on the coals. This way the smoke will start coming very fast. This way, for one thing, he won't be looking around and gazing around at the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is really not supposed to. Whatever the case, we see, from this Braisa, that he does have to somehow maneuver and get the tortoise from the spoon back into his hands. And Bezuhi Avoida Kosha Shabmikdash, this is the difficult Avoida in the Bismikdash to be able to maneuver the spoon like that and get all of the tortoise back into his hands without a drop of it falling. The Gemara says, before we finish with that, Vitulai, you're telling me this is the only Avoida Kosha Shabmikdash, no others. Vahika Malika, what about Malika? We said the other day that the Kohen Gadol has to use his fingernail to cut through the bird's spinal cord, which is a very difficult thing to do. And also, for that matter, the position of his hand, where he's holding the bird and doing malika with the same hand, as very according to some Rishonim, is also complicated. Barik Kmitza, and we said yesterday or the day before about Kmitza, where he does Kmitza with his fingers folded over his palm, and then we said with a minchas machvas or a minchas marcheshes, which are cohesive, they're baked and fried, so they tend to stick together. So he has to use his thumb and his little finger to brush off the pieces of it that are sticking out. Those are also avodas kashas. Ella, you're right. Zui avoda kosher may avodas kosher from mitzvah. You're right. We don't mean this is the hardest avoda. We just mean this is one of the hard avodas in the Bais HaMikdash. Whatever the case, the point is, so shmamina choifin v'choize v'choifin. So you see clearly from this braisa that yes, he does have to do chafina twice, because we're saying that it's not enough that he just takes the spoon in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim and offers it on the coals from the spoon. No, he has to pour it from the spoon back into his hands and only then put it on the coals. So shmamina, that proves it, and therefore, so that's the end. So he does have to get it back into his hands. Now again, once we have that, then we have Rav Papa and Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua arguing which one of those, now that we know that choifin v'choize v'choifin, according to the Papa, then that means that definitely chaveira nichnas b'chafina, so it would be fine for the replacement Kohen Gadol to go in with the chafina done by the earlier one, because at least chafina is getting accomplished in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, whereas according to the Huna b'Rav Yeshua, the other way around, because inevitably the new Kohen Gadol hands are not going to be the same as the size of the old ones. So again, the Rambam paskins in this case that you shouldn't do that. L'chatchila, the new Kohen Gadol should do a new chafina, but b'dieved, if you took in the old chafina from the first Kohen Gadol, then b'dieved, it's fine. Okay. Another question. Ibayelahu, shachat umes. What if the Kohen Gadol shechted his par, and then he died before he took the blood into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Mahushi kones acha bedamai. Is the new Kohen Gadol allowed to go in with that blood, or does he need to shecht another par? Now, again, Tosfos Hashanim discusses over here, would the same question apply if the Kohen Gadol became Tomei? So first Tosfos Hashanim says that maybe yes, but the reason why we want to specifically mention that he died is because later on Nun Amud Aleph, which we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to discuss the point of whether this is considered a Chatas Yochid or not. Now, a Chatas Yochid, if the owner of the Chatas dies, then the Chatas can't be used anyway. It's one of the Chatoris HaMesis. So we're going to discuss in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that the... That this is not considered a chafas yachid, and therefore the rules don't apply to that. So therefore the Gemara specifically wanted to mention the case of where the Kohen Gadol died in order to tell us that chiddush. Or Tosfos Hashanim says again, you could argue that, like we said before about the tortoise, if the Kohen Gadol is alive and this right now he's not available to serve, then fine, there's no question, because at least he is alive. So therefore the second one can be considered a shliach of the first one. The question would be if the Kohen Gadol died. So the question is, again, can the second one use the blood of the
a par that the first one shechted, or does he need to start over with a new par? So the question is, the basic question is, again, when the Pasuk says, does that mean that even the blood of the par can be considered par for this purpose? Or maybe the word befar means, but not with the blood of the par, meaning it has to be that he actually shechted the par. So now we have a machlokas about that. Rav Chanina said that it means davka with the par, not with the blood. So as we said on Amud Aleph, according to Rav Chanina, in fact, the new Kohen Gadol would need to shech the new par. And we said that would also require him, therefore, to do a new chafina, because we said the chafina has to be done after the par is shechted. Rish Lakish, I'm befar after the bedomish par. Rish Lakish says that's not necessary. You can even befar even means with the blood of the par. So it's fine that the second Kohen Gadol just takes over the blood and goes from there. And also we have other Amiroyim who argue the same argument. Rab Ami Omar befar v'lay bedomish par. Rab Ami says the same thing as Rab Chanina, that you'd have to shech the new one. Rab Yitzchak Omar befar after the bedomish par. And Rab Yitzchak says, it says on the side, says that it means befar, means even bedomei shopar. So okay, so we have two amiroyim on each side of the question. So now, esved of Ami the Rav Yitzchak Napcha. So now Rav Ami asked Rav Yitzchak Napcha, how could you say that it's fine that if it's only the blood, meaning that you're saying the word befar means even when you only have the blood? We learned in a Mishnah in Psachim, we said that you can register for the Korban Pesach and you can withdraw from registration until the animal is shechted. So the point is, in other words, the Pasuk says that you have to have a seh, a tachosu ala seh, you have to register for the seh. So Rav Ami says, I hold that it's only considered a seh as long as it's alive. Once it's shechted, it's not called a seh anymore. Therefore, if the Pasuk is telling us you have to register while it's a seh, means that it's alive, that it's still alive. But according to you, that even the blood of it is still considered to be a seh, well then, the im isa, if you're going to say that it's considered a seh even after it's shechted, adchi yizarek mi barilei, then the din should be you're allowed to join the registration or withdraw from registration until the blood is sprinkled. Now, Tosfos says on the next amud that you could even argue after it's sprinkled, I mean, you still have the body of the seh available. Fine, but in this case, obviously, we're going to say, okay, once the blood is sprinkled, the kapara has been accomplished, there's no reason to think that a person should be able to join the Korban Pesach. In what sense could you call them bailim on this korban when they weren't even part of it when the blood was sprinkled? But at least until the blood is sprinkled, it should be considered, according to you, should be fine to register. And the Mishnah is telling us that not only until it's shechted. So you see, it's not called a seh after it's shechted. By the same logic, it shouldn't be considered a par after it's shechted. So how can you tell me? Befar means after the bedomei shopar. The answer is shiny hossam. The answer is different in that case of the korban pesach. Dichtiv mi yos mi seh, because the pasuk in that same pasuk it says earlier mi yos mi seh, from being from a seh, and we darshan that means mi chayuse de seh. It means it has to be only as long as the seh is alive. So there you have a specific miut in the pasuk that it only works as long as the seh is alive. You can't learn from that to over here, where it doesn't say anything about mi yos, where it says anything about mi yos when it comes to the power. Okay. Masiv Mazutra. So Mazutra says, I have another contradiction. A Mishnah says about pidyon peter chamur. Now, we know the Torah tells us, ufeter chamur tifdev aseh, we say it in Rabbeinu Tam's Tefillin. So now, what it is it's not that you can't use other things to be poida, but if you use other things other than a seh to be poida, peter chamur, they have to be worth at least as much as the peter chamur. Whereas a seh, gzeres hakosov, is that even if the seh is worth a lot less than the chamur, then it still works. So now, when we talk about, so what is included in that din, where even if it's worth far less than the peter chamur, it'll still work. So the Mishnah says, ein poidin loy be'egel, you cannot do pidyon of a peter chamur with a calf. Again, you could if it's worth at least as much as the peter chamur on the grounds that it's shavah kesef. But if you want to use the special dispensation of seh, then you can't use a calf.
v'loy b'chaya, or wild animal, because it says seh, v'loy b'shchuta, and not with one that's shechted. This is where we're going to bring from over here. V'loy b'trefa, not if the seh is a trefa, where it's going to die of an injury or condition or whatever within 12 months. V'loy b'kilayim, not if it's a kilayim, a crossbreed of a sheep and a goat. So even though both sheep and goats themselves are considered in the category of seh, but kilayim between the two of them is not. V'loy b'koi, also, you can't use a koi, where there's a few different opinions in the Gemara and Cholin. What a koi is, Rashi over here brings one of those opinions that it is a crossbreed between a goat and a gazelle. So the point is you can't use el of a set. You have to specifically use a set. So the point is the Mishnah mentions that you cannot use one that's shechted. Now again, according to Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha, it should be. According to them, b'far means b'afilu b'domei shel par. So the same thing, a seh should include a shechted seh. So what's the problem? And the answer is, shiny hosam, the yalif seh seh mi pesach. The answer is that the difference is over there. We're learning a gzeira shava on the word seh from the Korban Pesach. Once it says seh by the Korban Pesach, and we established by the Korban Pesach, it says mi yos mi seh, so you can only register as long as the animal is alive, then we learn a gzeira shava from that to pidyon petach hamer, that also the seh has to be alive. But again, the korbanos of Yom Kippur are not, the korban of Yom Kippur, the part of Yom Kippur, is not in that category. So therefore it can even be dead, and we only have the blood of it. Tosfos and Shanim have a long discussion about the details of this gzeira shava. We have a different gemara that says that we have a binyan av to learn what's included in seh and what's not included. Here we seem to be saying it's a gzeira shava. So Tosfos gets into a long discussion about the ins and outs, what exactly we're learning from a binyan av versus what we're learning from the gzeira shava, and how this applies in other places in Torah, etc. So the bottom line is, again, pidyon petach hamer, we learn from korban pesach. Therefore, just like by the korban pesach, it has to be alive. The same way over here, it has to be alive in order to use the special din of seh. So the question is, if you're going to learn from a gzeira shava from the Korban Pesach, then you should apply everything. Malahalam zocher tamu venshana. When it comes to the Korban Pesach, it's not just enough that it's a seh. It also has to be a male. It also has to be a tam. It also has to be within a year old. Afkan zocher tamu venshana. Maybe also the seh for pidyon petach hamer would have to have those same criteria as well. No, the answer is tamud lema tifde riba. The answer is no. You have a posik that says the word tifde twice. So from the double expression tifde, we learn that any kind of pidyon is fine. So we learn from that, it's marba, that any other kind of thing could be used. So not, it doesn't have to be zachar tamim ben shana. So the question is, e tifte riba afilo kulunami. Nu, then we're back to, in that case, then the same thing should apply, that you should be allowed to use a shechted animal or a calf or a wild animal, etc. The answer is in Cain, seh mayani, right? Yeah, but in that case, what would this word seh, or the gzeira shava from the word seh, what would that help us? In other words, since we have on the one hand a gzeira shava that we're learning from the Korban Pesach, and on the other hand, we have a ribui from tifte that includes more, then we're going to say that it means, in other words, it has to be of the same species as the Korban Pesach, and it has to be like the Korban Pesach. It has to be alive, but no more than that. It doesn't have to be the other criteria of the Korban Pesach, zachar tamim ben shana. So that leaves us then with that we can't learn from the Korban Pesach or from Petach Hamer that it has to dafka be alive. So now we have the machlokes whether b'far means the blood of the par or not. So now, Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha says to Rav Ami, you who are saying that it would be possible, because the word par means specifically the par while it's alive. But what about, though? We learn in a b'raisa. Now, the posuk says that you have the porim hanisrafim. You have, for example, the par kohen god or the par kohen mashiach, the par helam gavar shal tzibur, etc. The posuk says v'hotzias kol ha'par. The posuk says they should take out all the par. That means sheyotzias koloi. That means they carry out the whole thing outside of the machne or outside of Yerushalayim and they burn it. So the point is already from right here, from the first line of the b'raisa, we see that the par that's still called a par after it's shechted, because that's what we're talking about, after it's shechted, and after the blood was sprinkled inside the Hechel, now they're carrying out the body of it and burning it outside of Yerushalayim. And over here you have, and ve'es parachatos, ve'es sirachatos. Rashi has to add over here that tirutzahu. Oh. So v'hoitzi es apar, that's kol apar, that you should take out the whole par. The answer is, Reb Ami says, it doesn't mean that the animal is still called a par at that point. It means the pasuk just wants to stress that v'hoitzi es kuloi, you have to take the whole thing out. Everything that's left of it, after the blood was sprinkled, you have to take out and burn outside the machne. It's not trying to tell us that the thing is still called a par. At that point, it just says it's kol apar, meaning everything. So the question is, what about ve'es parachatos, ve'es seirachatos? What about when it comes to the par and sur of Yom Kippur, where also the Torah tells you have to take them out and burn them, and it calls them parachatos and seirachatos? There you can't say, as Tosfos explained, that it means whatever's left, because here it doesn't say the word kol. At least the first one you could say, kol apar means whatever's left of the par. But here it doesn't even say the word kol. So that implies that it's still called a parachatos, and it's still called a seirachatos after it was shechted. The answer is Amar Papa. So the Papa says, fine. But Urubasir perish to kol amalei pligi. When it comes to you have the skin and the flesh and the waste of the animal, which the Pasuk says by the Purim and Israfim, when Sirim and Israfim, that they have to be taken out of the Machna, to kol amalei pligi, everybody will agree that that is called a par. Therefore, you don't have a question from those psukim on Rab Ami and on Rab Ami and on Rab Chanina. Ki pligi bedam. The Machlokas is specifically only about the blood. So one manda amar holds that even the blood by itself, in other words, it's one thing when you're talking about the goof of the par, then sure, you can call it a par because it still has the basic appearance of a par. It's still the body of the par as a whole. So therefore, that can be called par. But here, where you're talking about only the blood, is that still considered par? That's the machlokes. Mar sover dam ikri par. So Reb Shlokish and Reb Yitzchak Napcha are going to hold that that still is considered par. Therefore, again, back to our original question, the original Kohen Gadol passed away. Now a new Kohen Gadol took over and is going to take that blood into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Does that work? So yes, it would work. Mar sover dam la ikri par. Where's Reb Chanina? And where's Reb Chanina and Reb Ami hold that it doesn't work? The word befar means that it has to be there has to be the original par. Therefore, it has to be the Kohen Gadol himself shechted the par. And therefore, if he didn't, because the original Kohen Gadol passed away and now he's taking over, then he needs to shecht the new par. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, Mistabra Kemando Amar Dam Ikri Par. It's more logical to follow the opinion that dam is in fact called par, and therefore that it would be good enough for him to take the dam in without having to have shechted the par himself, because after all, the expression in the pasuk is, with this iron should come into the kodesh, b'far ben bakar, with a par ben bakar. And you have to ask, says Rav Ashi, does that mean, are you going to say the pasuk means that he actually takes it in, horns and all? Obviously not. He's not taking the actual animal into the kodesh HaKadoshim. He's taking in the blood of it, and obviously he's only taking in the blood, but kori le par. And the pasuk is saying, with this Aaron should come into the kodesh with a par. So we see clearly from the expression in the pasuk that the blood is called par. The idach, fine. So what would Rab Chanina and Rab Ami answer to that? They would say, it doesn't mean that he walks in with the par. It means, v'ma huchsha Aaron, lovei ala kodesh. What is the prerequisite that's necessary for Aaron to come into the Kodesh? Befar ben bakar l'chatos, that he brings a par ben bakar for a chatos, meaning that he needs to shecht it. So according to them, they're not saying that bringing in the par means, obviously it doesn't mean, according to them, bringing in the animal itself, but they say it doesn't mean that he has to bring in. It means that the prerequisite is that he has to have offered such an animal as a korban, meaning that he had to have shecht it. So that's it. So we have this machlokas. The Rambam paskins like Reb Shlokish and Reb Yitzchak Napcha, for one reason, because we see over here in the Gemara that Reb Ashi agrees with them, and Reb Ashi is later than all of them, and the usual rule is halacha kabasroi, that the halacha is like the later authorities. So that's it. So then we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and discuss the question of why we don't consider, if the first Kohen Gadol died, why we don't consider this a chakas shemesu baaleha, in which case it would be possible anyway. So we'll take up that point tomorrow, Best Hashem.